I know this might sound like a just kind of a different kind of a title, the tense of nonsense, and but I really believe that, you know, when we focus on the wrong tense in regards to God's word, whether it be, you know, past, present, and future, the most popular kinds of verb tenses that people use. And when you focus on the wrong tense, that can really do some damage to your walk with God. And today, I want to just talk about how many times we are unaware how tenses control us. And how a lot of times these tenses are ruled by our senses. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but the majority of Christian teaching focuses on past and future tenses. Most all worship songs focus on past and future tenses, but we often neglect the present tense. And it's in the present tense where we find the power of God wanting to move in our life. And this is what we're going to be getting in today. Before we do, I'm going to pray and just ask God to bless this word, and then we'll move forward. Father God, I thank you for helping me today to just, you know, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the hearts and minds of people are open, that God, we see your word, and God, we see things that we need to change and things we need to fix, and God, letting your power move into our lives so that we can do greater things for your kingdom. And Lord, I just praise you and I bless you today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So, past, present, and future. Now, like I said, a lot of times, Most Christians, most teaching focuses on the past and the future tenses. For instance, one of the most common teachings in Christianity or in churches in general is this how to acquire things. How do I get things? How do I get what I want, whether it be peace or happiness, great marriage, money, health, success? So this how to acquire things becomes a huge part of Christianity, huge part of the gospel, huge part of our churches. Now, the major issue that I have with this how to acquire gospel is that many times it operates in the tense of nonsense. Meaning that many teach that in order to acquire something, you must first deal with your past and focus on your future if you want to get the things you're believing God for. And I believe this is completely nonsense because it neglects the truth of God's word. And the truth is, in the spiritual realm, you have everything you need to be a successful believer in Christ. You have everything you need. There is no like focusing on the past, focusing on the future. You have everything you need right now in the present. Everything you need to do what you feel God has called you to do, you have it available to you. But we don't realize this because we're always focusing on the wrong tense concerning God's word in our life. And when you focus on the wrong tense, guilt, condemnation, and fear, anxiety, shame, regret, worry, they control you. When you're always focused on past tense, condemnation. We always focus on future tense, worry and fear. And we oftentimes don't realize that we're doing ourselves a great injustice and robbing ourselves of the power that Jesus came to provide for us when we don't live in the present tense. And I think when you live in the wrong tense, it makes you feel like you're never going to measure up. And so what you do is you spend your entire life trying to fix this poor image of yourself. I mean, if the truth be known, most of us have a pretty poor image about ourselves. You know, I mean, we just don't, it doesn't matter how you look. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but most of the things that people worry about are completely untrue. All right? And most of the things that we think, well, I don't like myself because of this, no one else sees. And it's almost like we have this, hope this is the proper way to say it, this kind of Christianity of being bulimic or anorexic. We feel there is something wrong when there is nothing wrong. And the enemy comes and he tries to kill us and destroy our image of who we are. We're made in the image of Christ, number one. But a lot of times we don't focus on this fact. And focusing on the wrong tense, like I said, completely robs you from knowing who you are in Christ. So a simple verse to get this point across is found in the book of Romans, verse 10. And this is what it says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there's a period after that, meaning that's all you have to do. For it is believing with your heart that you are made right with God, and it is confessing with your mouth that you are saved. I like how he repeats himself almost in the same manner, just to make sure you get it. There's nothing any different he says after that. Now, the scripture tells us how salvation takes place and how the moment you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, and you say, hey, I want his lordship in my life. But the thing is, do we really believe this? I mean, this is a very, if not the most foundational scripture for salvation. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I just wonder, do we really believe this? And I would have to say that the majority of Christians, they might believe it on paper, but they don't practice it or teach it in a way that makes it true. And why do I say this? Because most Christians are oblivious, completely unaware of the love that Christ has for them, because they live in the wrong tense. Many Christians still believe that God is out to punish them, and they feel that God is about to kick them out of class and send them to the principal's office, which is hell if they make more mistakes. And we deal with this kind of like, we're almost like schizophrenic. We don't really know. We're kind of, well, some days I believe and then some days I don't. And we can never move forward with Christ until we have a sure foundation that we belong to Christ. And I think we have to get to the place of, when will we get the revelation that salvation means that we belong to Jesus once and for all? But we don't really understand this. If I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I am saved. It says nothing about losing that salvation. It says nothing about, maybe if you do this or you do that, you're gonna just be kicked out of God's family. It never says that. But we teach that, and we teach a philosophy that is not backed by the Word of God. Think about this. Not only do you belong to God by your own consent, you are like a wife that consents in a wedding ceremony. A wife gives herself to her husband, and you know what? She doesn't have to have a wedding service every day in order to belong to her husband. Can you imagine that? If in order to be married, you had to have a wedding service every day. Well, that's how we feel. That's how we feel. Like every day we wake up and we got to go through the whole process again just to make sure we're saved. Just to make sure. Because we're not sure. And then there's this whole other teaching about surrendering. Oh, I come to Christ, I want to surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. What is there left to surrender after Christ is in your life? If he is the Lord over your life, there's nothing left to surrender. I'm just being honest. So we write a lot of songs out of nonsense because maybe it sounds good, but it's not biblical. There are a lot of things that might sound good, but they're not biblical. The believer belongs to Christ. If you're in here and you've confessed with your mouth, you believe in your heart, it's a once and for all union. It's past tense, meaning it's done. Now, this is the foundation for today. Because until you understand this, you will never move forward into the great things that God has for you, because you're going to be stuck in your past, not his past. You need to be stuck in Jesus' past. Oh, because in his past, He redeemed you. So get out of your past, get in his past. Because Jesus is yours, you are his. All that Jesus did for you, all the stuff that he sacrificed for you is yours. You don't have to struggle to get it. You don't have to pay to get it. You don't have to work to get it. It is yours. It is yours as much as your hands and feet are yours. You got to get that. You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself, because taking the Bible out of context is bad for your health. Many people, they don't grip this truth because they feel powerless in their life. I can't grip it. I already feel powerless. And the reason they feel powerless is because they are focusing on their ability to do something instead of God's ability. Now, the reason a lot of people don't focus on God's ability is because they truly don't think that God wants to do anything good in their life. But that's nonsense. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." This word power here means ability. So you could say it like this: according to the ability of God that is at work within us. According to the ability of God. God has, his ability is not messed up. It's not fallen short. He has full ability to do the things that you're believing for him to do in your life. Philippians 2:13, it is God who is at work within us. And if you have God in you, you have all the power you need and that you'll ever need on the inside of you. Now, the problem is this truth has been kept from us. And I'm not downgrading anybody, but many of our spiritual leaders have taught us a philosophy of failure. And their philosophy is based on unbelief, and many have taught it to us unconsciously. And the reason many people teach a philosophy of failure is because they haven't recognized that there are two phases of redemption. There's the legal, and there is the present. That's crucial to understand, that there are two phases. The legal is always the past. Okay, that's the legal side of redemption. It is what God did for you in the past. It's what he did for you in the great substitution. He redeemed us. Our redemption is past tense. He doesn't have to redeem you again. You are good. You are good. Understand that. That means you don't have to walk to the altar or get saved every week. There are people that get saved every week. Church makes them feel they got to get saved every week. No, once you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, you are good. Something should happen. A new creation should take place in your life. And the moment that you confess Christ and you acknowledge his lordship, you became a new creation. And in that moment, God's nature was imparted to you and you became a child of God. That's why the Bible says that when you're in Christ, you are one with him, a branch and a vine. That is past. That's past. That's already done. Okay? Quit focusing on that. That's one side. That's the legal side of redemption. What Jesus came to do for you. You accepted that. It's done. You're a child of God. Now, all that God is doing in you right now in the new creation is present tense. This is the present tense side of redemption. The present is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us today. Because let me tell you this, it is not enough to know what Jesus did for you until you become aware of what belongs to you. You will never start operating in power until you become aware of your state-of-the-art realities in Christ. Your state-of-the-art realities, these new creation realities. And one of the state-of-the-art realities can be seen in Romans 8:1. Now, this isn't the legal side of redemption. This is the present side of redemption. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a present tense reality. That is now. That's not past. That's not future. That is now. That is a present side of redemption. There is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So if you feel condemnation, you're not operating in the present tense of redemption. You should never feel any condemnation. Another verse, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have our redemption, the remission of our sins. Your sins are taken care of. When we as a church quit becoming so obsessed with sin, we're so obsessed with sin. I mean, the church is always obsessed. Like some, we were watching a little bit of, I don't know if you remember the movie Ray with Jamie Foxx about Ray Charles. And I was watching a little bit of it last night. It's on TV and just there was one part that came up I forgot about. The reason Ray Charles wasn't very popular in the beginning is because he mixed church music with R&B. And it was sacrilegious. Like, I guess the church felt it owned this style of church music. Or that Jesus played this style of church music. Or that Jesus had a piano. A lot of people believe that Jesus carried an organ with him wherever he went. But he did not. But it's just amazing how we as the church, we get mad about the wrong things. We're focusing on the wrong things. We're always focusing on, oh, all the sin. Why don't we start focusing on the righteousness that Jesus came to bring us? It's because we're always focused on the past, or we're always focused on the future. Have you ever noticed that? People are always focused on how God is judging America or how he will judge America, but not how he loves America right now. It's always past and future. It's never present. And this is just how we live. And when the present side of redemption is understood, we know what belongs to us in Christ. You need to know what belongs to you in Christ. Do you know that? Let me just say this, and please don't take this lightly or like I'm being just too kind of vague. But you know, healing belongs to you. Okay? It belongs to you. You honestly shouldn't really even have to pray for healing. Now, I'm going to get kicked out of probably 100% of churches. Well, 99.9 because I'm not going to kick out here. But why? Have you noticed that the majority of the things that we pray for already belong to us? We just don't realize it. And we don't recognize it. I could tell you testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of people, oh, they're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Never anything happened. They get a reality of this. Changes. Changes instantly. I could tell you story after story. Tell you about a man who had to wear this metal brace on his back because his spine was so messed up. Been praying and believing for God to touch his back. He began to understand that, hey, healing belongs to me. He began to get a revelation of this reality. The moment he got a revelation of reality, took that kind of belt metal plate off and was able to walk and bend without it instantly. Instantly. I've seen people who have struggled. See, here's the thing. We feel healing or any kind of thing that already belongs to us is a struggle to get, but it is not a struggle to get. The only thing that is required to get is you understanding and knowing that it already belongs to you. Now, that sounds kind of crazy, but your normal isn't working. Got to know your rights as sons and daughters of God. Got to learn to take our place. Got to learn to enjoy our privileges and the present side of redemption. Got to get that present side of redemption has to become a reality in our life. All that is legally ours becomes ours by the ministry of the Spirit through the Word of God. That is why it is so crucial to know the Word of God, practice the Word of God, and act upon the Word of God. It is impossible to believe something that you do not know. And I think a problem is we spend so much time listening. I would say, I'm not saying, I'm just talking about people in general. They read books. the Christian bookstore, and they listen to Christian ministers, and maybe they even listen to my podcast. That's great. I'm glad people do that. But you know what we have failed to do is know the Word. Got to know the Word. Now, I know we can know the Word through books and through teaching, but we do ourselves an injustice when we don't know Scripture. And we don't memorize these things and understand these, and it's crucial. Because believing is acting upon what God has asked you to do. There is no believing without acting. Just in case you didn't know. If you believe something, you're going to act upon it. I don't know if you know this or not, but faith is a noun. It's a noun. You have acted. You have arrived. It's a noun. You have acted. It does belong to you. And we got to understand this. Because on this ground, you begin to take your place as a son or daughter in the family of God. And when you know this, just as easy as you know subtraction and addition, you will have a fearless confession. Just as easy as counting, adding, subtracting, dividing. I have arrived. It does belong to me. Not, well, maybe. Let me tell you something about hope. Hope is a great, 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 great waiter. And it's a poor receiver. See, a lot of people, I'm hoping. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. I think we've mixed it up. Faith and hope. I'm believing for God to do something. And in the way people describe that, we're unsure. God, will you heal me? That's not faith. He already has healed you. Faith is a noun. Hope. It's a great waiter. Poor receiver. Many people that hope, honestly, never get it. But when you know this, when you know you have acted, you have arrived, when you know faith is a noun, you're not afraid to say, greater is he that is in me than any circumstance that might confront me. Greater is he that is in me than any difficulty that might come against me. And when I become aware of my present tense realities through the redemption of Christ, I become the master of circumstances in Christ. I come to recognize the reality of his indwelling and become God inside minded. God wants us to live in this. Do you realize something? Paul said, I died with Christ. All right? Paul said, I died with Christ. Now, I think a lot of times, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The proper translation is, I was crucified with Christ. You know what Paul is trying to say? It was as if I was crucified with Christ. It was as if I was in hell, publicly shaming demonic powers and having victory over them. What Christ did, when Christ rose, it is as if I rose with Christ. We don't think of that Jesus died for you, and it was as if you were on the cross. All that pain, all that disease, all that frustration and fear and depression, it died. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And I live because Christ lives within me. And all that God wants to do in our life is for us to realize this present tense reality. And it is only in this that you experience the abundance of Christ. I think we've been trained like robots when we pray. And I don't know if you ever noticed this, but we kind of pray the same way. I mean, how do you pray for healing if you know it already belongs to you? I'll tell you what I do. I'll tell you what my family does. Jackson, my middle son, He is, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's a little shorter than most kids his age. And he's five, and he's began to notice this, especially around being around the Douglas boys. He notices this. He says, "Why am I so short than all the other boys?" I said, "Well, Jax, let me tell you something." And Lisa tells him this. I'm going to have to give credit to Lisa. Lisa tells him every day, "You start speaking over yourself. I'm growing. I'm taller." How much has he grown in the last month? Inch and a half last month. In the last month. Well, I mean, he's a growing boy. I don't know if you've, my knees, I just have some weird knees, and they just, I mean, do some crazy things. And every time I walk upstairs, anytime I feel or see, I just say, "Hey, teenage knees." I'm not even kidding. And over the last 2 weeks, my knees are just getting better and better and better and better and better. I walked out of the doctor's office 3 days ago, and this might sound insane to you, but I said, "Teenage knees." And something else just hit me. I go, "Teenage metabolism." I did. I said, "Teenage metabolism." And I told Victor that. He goes, "Well, yeah, I'm going to say teenage knees." And I started thinking about, like, because you always, after you say something like that, you think, oh, you always have that's crazy. If Jesus can open the blind eyes, raise people from the dead, I don't think a metabolism is an issue. So I just started speaking that over myself. I started speaking that over, you know, and Jonathan just speaks stuff over him. Lisa's, we talk as if, and no, faith isn't out. It's done. I am growing. Not God, help me grow. I am taller. And we got to understand this. Because a lot of times the way we speak is as if we want some insurance just in case it doesn't happen. So we gotta word it in a way where we don't let ourselves down. But that's not faith. And we gotta know, you gotta know what belongs to you. What belongs to you? What belongs to you? And speak those things. I'm not addicted to pornography. I have the mind of Christ. Oh God, help me. Help me. Help me. And God's like, "I did help you. I helped you so you can help yourself to all these blessings." Amen. So, well, God, nope. I, and you can put anything after that. Plan of redemption. God, help me find, a person to spend the rest of my life with. Help me, Lord. Now, the legal side of redemption, God has fixed your future, meaning good things planned for you. He knows the person. A lot of times, oh God, why don't you say, "Well, I'm glad I found them and they're on their way." And just speak that. You begin to speak that. You call that out. "Well, that just sounds a little crazy." But let me ask you this. Is your normal really working? Because I don't think it is. And what I'm teaching, sometimes people think, "Well, that just sounds like it's going against reality." It is. It's going into a new reality because you are a new creation in Christ. Okay? You got to understand that. Speak that. I am blessed. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am a good mom. I am a good dad. I am a good student. I am smart. I am the head. Speak that. I am going here. I am going there. And I'm speaking this simply because faith is a noun. It's already happened. I'm going to speak it. And I guarantee you, you start practicing this in your life and you get rid of the tense of nonsense, you're going to see tremendous change happen on the inside of you. Amen.